Okay, Erev Tov, good evening. Sorry for the delay. There's always first time to be stuck in a traffic jam in Manhattan. Sheikh Hayanu, it happened today. 3 months in the States, happened today. First time, very exciting. I hope it's also the last time. I want to thank a special guest that is here with us tonight, Stephanie Strauss from YU in Israel, but she is here tonight with us. I also want to thank Rabbi Ari Berman, Harav Dr. Stu Halperin, Harav Yaakov Taubes, of course, the great Michal Hess. Michal is the reason we have all these great pizzas here. You can't smell it at home, but it's here. I want to thank Yoshua Siskin, the translator who helps a lot, and of course Uri Westreichs, who works so hard in order that the people out of this room at Stern College will be able to see us, to hear us on YouTube, Facebook, El Al passengers who also watch us on the plane, and Galei Israel listeners, the Israeli radio station. Welcome, everyone. We will speak today, of course, about Chayei Sara, the weekly, this week's Torah portion, but we're going to study it almost exclusively with one single commentator, Harav Shlomo Volbe. He's among the leaders of the Musar movement, Tnuat HaMusar, and last week, maybe some of you remember, when we discussed Parashat Vayera, we quoted Rabbi Volbe. He said that Parashat Vayera is Shulchan Aruch of Chesed. It's Shulchan Aruch for kindness, for grace. This week, and we explained with many commentators how Abraham's kindness is really a gift he gives to us today, how to be Abraham descendants. But this week, Rabbi Volbe defines this Parsha as Shulchan Aruch Shel Derech Eretz. Shulchan Aruch of good manners, of desirable behavior. Derech Eretz. I would also add, maybe it's also Shulchan Aruch for Shadchanim, for matchmakers, because that's the main story in our parasha. And we will try to focus only on his, I would say, perspective, the way he sees the parasha, the Musar movement, how the leaders of this movement read our beautiful, fascinating parasha. The first, I would say, that's Rabbi Volbe, a beautiful picture that was taken in Yerushalayim a decade ago. By the photographer is Baruch Ya'ari. And I think the first thing, it's not only him, of course, many commentators, define it as the most important thing at the beginning of our parasha, is to live a full life, Chayim Mele'im. It sounds like something, you know, from the new age media, something very new age era, very, I would say, modern, up to date. If I'll tell you that a lot of our commentators, they talk about the optimal time management of Avraham and Sarah. It sounds like something you learn here at YU, right? The optimal time management. But thousands of years ago, they describe it as a unique thing. Avraham and Sarah, I would say, purchased it. They work hard in order to attain, to reach such a high level of time management. When you look at the first pasuk, of course, the years Sarah lived before she passed away, it's not just Mea Esrim V'Sheva. You know, in Hebrew you say Mea Esrim V'Sheva. No, it's Mea Shana, 100. Ve'esrim Shana, V'Sheva Shanim, Shnei Chayei Sarah. You count each year. You can count each week, each day, each hour, each minute, each second. The life of Sarah, I would quote the Orach Chaim, ki hatzadikim mechayim yamehem. The tzadikim, the righteous people, they give an entire life to each of their days. Hem mechayim et hayamim shelahem. She lived in a way that every minute was really counted. Avraham, in our parasha, he passed away at the end of the parasha. They both die in this week's parasha. Avraham zaken ba bayamim. V'Hashem berach et Avraham b'kol. This phrase, Baba Yamim, only two words in Hebrew, Baba Yamim. It means he comes to the next world, Hu ba la'olam haba, im kol yemei chayav, with each and every day. He can tell you what he did Wednesday last week, Monday 50 years ago. I did something meaningful here, I did something meaningful back then. Everything counts. There was a famous slogan in Israel a few years ago. They wanted to sell a new car, but Alpha. But the I think the slogan here is really good. It's part of the, I would think the copywriter belongs to the Musar movement. זה שאתה נושם לא אומר שאתה חי. The fact you just breathe, inhale, exhale, it does not necessarily mean, it's not a proof that you are alive. זה שאתה נושם, it's not enough to me to say that you are really alive. The fact you just breathe, that's automatic. Now do something meaningful with your life. Buy our car, yeah. But Abraham and Sarah also taught us, זה שאתה נושם לא אומר שאתה חי. You must take care, you must see your life becomes meaningful. And Rav Volbe used to quote his Rebbe, Harav Yerucham Leibovich Mimir. He came from Berlin to the Mir Yeshiva in Belarus. That's where he first met Rabbi Yerucham, and he became his Rav. And he used to quote it a lot. I think it might help us out. Since I read this idea yesterday, it already helped me twice, okay, to focus, to concentrate as a mother, as a wife, as a career woman. So listen to how Rabbi Yerucham describes what was so unique, what was so special about Avraham, Sarah, and their attitude toward time. So Rabbi Yerucham sends us to read last week's Parsha. You remember three angels came to visit Avraham Avinu in his tent? There's a quote, famous quote, Chazal say, "Im dome harav lemalach Hashem tzvakot, bakesh Torah mipihu." If the rabbi is like an angel, people will request words of Torah from him. So a person needs to search, our Volbe quotes his Rav, a person needs to search for others who are like angels. But what do we know about angels? Never met an angel today in the traffic jam, no. Has anyone here ever seen an angel? How would we recognize an angel if we saw one? We have one criterion that will help us find angels. We learned last week in Parashat Vayera, three angels came to Avraham Avinu. Why three? Rashi explains, one came there in order to bring the news of Yitzchak's birth, Levaser et Sarah. The other one came in order to overturn, to destroy the city of Sodom. And the third one came there in order to heal Avraham after his brit. So one angel does not take on two missions. That's Rashi. That's a quotation. That's Rashi says, En malach echad oseh shtei shlichuyot. So why can't one angel do, he's an angel, why can't you do anything together? No, because each angel has only one lifetime mission, a purpose for which that angel is uniquely qualified. If that angel is meant to show kindness, it shows kindness. If that angel is meant to study Torah, it studies Torah. You need, of course, it talks about us. If I had to do something now, you need to be like a complete angel. An angel that's all there and focused on one specific purpose, to perform any act completely. Now, think about our life, okay? Let's be honest, okay? How many missions? Let's look at this slogan, okay? One angel does not take on two missions at once. That's Rashi. And let's talk about our life. How many missions do we take on at once? The more the better, right? As many as possible, yeah? And then we add a few more. No problem. I will be able to heal Abraham, to give Sarah the good news, to destroy Sodom, to answer my kids' question. They have a lot of homework now in America. To answer a question on WhatsApp, to wash the dishes, and more and more and more. Rabbi Yerucham tells us the main question is, what are you doing right now? Ma ata oseh achshav? He used to ask his students, Ma ata oseh achshav? Usually, I have a few answers for that. I can never give just one mission. That's what I'm doing now. No, very hard. So we talk about a life of purpose, life that is a mission. Let's begin with 5 minutes, 5 minutes mission, 5 minutes of being like the angels. Many times people ask me, how do you combine career and family? It's a famous question today. We discuss it a lot. My answer is, when people ask, how do you combine? I tell them, I do not want to combine. I want to separate. I want to separate family and career. I want to really work when I'm there at the office, and the kids are nagging me, but I want to really be at home when I'm there and work's nagging me. So the first thing we learn here is to focus properly. That's the main, I would say, headline or mission Rabbi Volbe gives us. But then, there's another thing, I never thought about it. He usually reads Rashi. For me, it's like a simple, okay, that's what Rashi says. It's quite simple, I got it. But then he shows you the deeper meaning of what Rashi says. And the second frightening thing we see here is, I wrote it in Ivrit, "Efshar lehitlotzetz al hakol." You can laugh at everything. That's quite scary. Because in last week's Parsha, this week's Parsha, and next week's Parsha, all the commentators emphasize that Yitzchak was physically identical to Abraham, and that Sarah was his biological mother. What's going on here? What's the problem? Are they liars? God forbid. I mean, why should we prove it again and again? Sarah was nursing Yitzchak, and Abraham was identical, so nobody could claim it's not their child. And the Rashi tells us again and again that there was this group called Leitzanei Hador, the jokers, I would say, the cynical people of that generation. And they were walking there, claiming and persuading, saying to people, no, Sarah, it's from Avimelech. No, they just took him from the market. They just, you know, brought this baby to her. It's not her baby. She was not pregnant. No, it's not Abraham's child. It's not Sarah's. What's going on here? Think about it. It's really, it's shocking. I mean, people are living with Abraham and Sarah in their generation. How can we even imagine this, you know, to be with them in the same neighborhood, okay? Neighbors, next tent. And then, looking at these two prophets, Abraham Avinu, Sarah Imenu, and they have no problem to laugh, to mock, to lie about these holy people, you know, no limits at all. Rav Volbe tells us we should pay attention to these two words, Leitzanei Hador, because they exist in any door. Any generation has his Leitzanei Hador. People can really laugh at anything, and if you have no awareness, you can be part of this group of Leitzanei Hador. It's even possible to laugh at Avraham Avinu, he says. And this is an important rule, that whatever is one is on the side of holiness, Masha Bitzada Kedusha, there is always something on equal intensity on the side of impurity. Tzada Kedusha v'tzada Tum'ah. It's a struggle. Just as there are Torah giants, Dolei Torah, in every generation, so too there must be, on the opposite side, Joker giants, Gdolei Tzchok, Gdolei Tziniut. They laugh at everything. Everything that is holy. And without this reality, there would be no free choice. Lo hayta bchira chofshit, since the foundation of choice obligates the existence of good and evil side by side. There's always Avraham Avinu. There's always Leitzanei Hador. Choose. You can choose who to believe, who you want to be, who do you want as your friend. I think I do not have American examples. I'm not familiar with the culture here, the TV, the Facebook personalities, the icons here. But I can give you dozens of examples from the Israeli society, the media, the new media, people, cool people, viral figures, you know, posts, tweets all day. That's the headline there is Leitzanei Hador. It's your decision if you want to be a part of it. That's, I would say, caution, Leitzanei Hador. Now we should say caution again, assimilation ahead. Zehirut mi hitbolelut. Many people say the criterion, the test, the audition was chesed. We'll get there in a minute. Of course, the main reason Rivka was chosen to be Rivka Imenu. That's why she's not just a Rivki from Haran. You know, she became Rivka Imenu because she did chesed, and we'll get there. But no, the first, I would say, reason she was chosen is because Avraham did not want Yitzchak to marry a foreign girl, a foreign, I would say, person not from his family, not connected to Judaism, to this new path he just started. He takes Eliezer, and the first thing he says, chesed, maybe it's even obvious, Eliezer knows what's going on in Avraham's tent, he will look for a girl that's doing a lot of chesed. But the first thing Avraham mentions is, do not marry out, okay? Don't, lo tikach isha livni, mibnot hakna'ani, asher anochi yoshev bekirbo, kim el arzi ve'el moledeti telech, go to my birthplace, and you shall take a wife for my son, for Yitzchak. And once again, swear, and you must promise me, okay? Don't come back, okay? If you didn't find it, and I know it's not so nice to come. I mean, it's not so polite to come from Israel and start touching this sensitive issue. Someone told me, for you in Israel, it's an issue. Hitbolelut. Nobody in Israel sees it as a threat. Even if you're a very secular person, the majority of the people in Israel are Jews. Even if you hear about, you know, an examples here and there, it's not a threat, okay? The Israeli society is facing a lot of threats. It's not a real threat. Here, someone told me, when we just got here, someone told me, every room, when you stand and talk about it, you must be very sensitive. You can't come with your Israeli attitude. It's a disaster. Zason. You must understand, in each room in America, there's someone whom this touches personally, and they do not want you to touch it, okay? Deep in their heart. Now, that's why I'm trying to be polite on the one hand, but on the other hand, I do not want to lose this Israeli approach that sees it as a threat, as a problem. I mean, you should be polite, but you don't have to compromise when it comes to something that was so essential, not only to Avraham Avinu, to us. The fact that what we see here is, I would call it disappearance by our own choice, I think that's the main issue. That's the main problem. And maybe the main problem is we do not discuss it enough. If I will ask you, what's the main problem in the Jewish world today? You'll say there is no memshala. You're right. That's the main problem today. I hope, Ezrat Hashem, next shiur we will be here after we'll have a normal coalition in Israel. Okay, what else? People say anti-Semitism. Yeah, it's a threat. But that's an external threat, not an internal one. And we've suffered, we faced this challenge for thousands of years. I don't want to say we're used to it, but we know what anti-Semitism is. We never faced a challenge of more than 50%, okay, of Jews intermarry. That's the majority of the Jews here. Now, once again, very easy to come from Israel. I have no idea. I don't know where would I be if I was fifth, sixth, seventh generation. I met families who are here for more than 100 years. I can tell them, come and give them my tips. I have no idea. I mean, I know what you're facing here. But a week ago, Dr. Ari Lem interviewed me. We had an evening at the Jewish Center, Upper West Side. And he asked me, after 3 months there, how do you summarize everything? He told him, look at that. Although I'm an Israeli, I'm not so shallow and superficial. I can't summarize, you know, I do not have conclusions after 3 months. But I do want to, he tells me, okay, but what do you tell the Israelis there when they ask you? How are the Americans? Echa Amerikaim? I told them, sometimes I just want to shout and tell them, you have no idea how connected they are, how devoted, how great these communities, these shuls, these schools, of course, the people here at YU, Stern College. I mean, how everything is... You have no idea about what's going on with our brothers and sisters in the diaspora, how they care about you. Last week here, we were davening for the people of Sderot, of the South, and everything. I mean, I see beautiful things here, really, sources of strength. But on the other hand, I told him, sometimes I want to shout at the people here and there and tell them, you have no idea how dangerous it is. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was once asked, why don't you make Aliyah? And he said, how can I leave the most dangerous place in the world for Jews? Wow, that's a frightening answer. Now, kol hakavod, for those who sit here, for those who are connected, engaged, devoted, those who care. But that's not an easy task. And Abraham tells us that's the first fence we construct. And Rabbi Volbe personally faced this challenge. As a young student, he worked for Va'ad Hatzalah, the rescue committee after World War II, and to save Jewish refugees. He lived, this picture was taken back then when he was younger. He wasn't married yet. Young student, yeshiva student, and he worked very hard in Stockholm, the capital of Sweden. He was almost the only Orthodox Jew there, And he said, what I did, I everyone were really assimilated and were very confused and became like, so he worked very hard to save them. He hung a sign on his door to his room there, and that read, that the sign said, Bet HaMusar, House of Musar, House of Morality, Yeshiva. He opened the yeshiva with one student, him. That's all. He said, it saved me every time I came back home after working with these refugees. Bet HaMusar, I opened it for me alone, okay? But, okay, once again, Avraham reminds us of this challenge. I will not elaborate, although I can talk a lot about it. We'll continue with something, the next thing we learn. Each lesson here, as I said, is still very, very relevant. The next thing Rabbi Volbe talks about is not Avraham's ideology. It's very nice to talk about your values, you know, and preach and give speeches and lectures and slides. Ideology is in the details. Ideologia bapratim haktanim. Let's pay attention, okay, to every detail in the development of this shiduch. Okay, so Eliezer basically goes to Haran. The main thing the Torah decides to tell us is that he took 10 camels, vayelech v'chol tuv adonav b'yado, vayakam vayelech. He took 10 camels, Rashi says, ma ze meshane migmalei adonav. Why do I care? You know, these were the camels of his masters. His master's camels, gmalei adonav. Why do I care? Rashi, nikarim ayu mishar gmalim. Shayu yotzim zmumim. They were distinguished from other camels by going out muzzled to avoid robbery. Okay, they should not graze in other people's field. That's a hard word. Robbery, gezel. Yeah, it's gezel. No, it's just a bite. I'm just taking something from this field. No. It's gezel. It's robbery. And hagmalim of Avraham Avinu should be distinguished. Should be different. Three different times Rashi reminds us of the way Avraham sent his camels out when they went out there. Once again, it says, he comes to Lavan's house and he opens. Vayefatach hagmalim. Why? He opened, he removed their muzzles, for he had closed their mouth. We heard it already. No, he should hear it once again. Because he closed their mouth by then, so that on the journey they might not graze in other people's fields. Okay, got it. But last week, once again, Rashi tells us again, that Vayehiriv, there was this quarrel with the Ro'ei Avraham ve'Ro'ei Lot. Why? Once again, they were wicked and they gazed their cattle in other people's field. And Avraham, of course, didn't want them to be part of acts of robbery. I think we got it, right? Three times. Why is it so important? Rabbi Volbe tells us, this is the innovation of Avraham Avinu in the world. Truth is not an abstract ideal, a nice theory alone. Truth is expressed in the smallest actions of a human being. Avraham Avinu introduced proper conduct to the world, how camels should walk about. And whenever people saw a muzzled camel, they would say, this is a camel of Avraham Avinu. Okay? It's something different. It's a unique type, new type of people and camels in this world. And ideology starts there, in a little thing you do. That's how Avraham established this new religion. And this Shabbat, Kaf Hei B'Cheshvan, will be the fifth Yortzeit of Chaim Rotman. Chaim Rotman is just one of the people who were murdered in Kehilat Bnei Torah Shul in Har Nof, 5 years ago since this awful attack. And during the Shiva, his boss came to the family and brought this note with him. I think this story wasn't published. People don't know about this. I think it's a really touching story. And when we talk about small things of Gezel and how Avraham's descendant should act, look at this example. So he came to the Shiva and he showed them this note. And you see the date, 17 November 2014, November 17th. The next day, November 18th, was the day when Chaim Rotman was hurt, when the terrorist came to Har Nof. So one day before he was murdered, he writes it to his boss, and he says, Chiyuv ba'avur shimush prati be mashabei המשרד. He worked for the state controller's office, משרד מבקר המדינה. And he thought he took a pen, he made a phone call, he took a few papers, he used, I would say, the supplies that what the office gives you, and it's not doesn't belong to him, it's not a private place. And he wanted, יש לחייב אותי 200 שח. He wanted them to take 200 shekels from his salary because he doesn't want it, okay, to be a part of his salary. It belongs to the office. He doesn't want this robbery. It's not only Abraham's camels hundreds of years ago. It could happen right here in the center of Jerusalem nowadays. Ideology is in the small details. That's also and I think an important lesson. Let's move forward. I think you all remember the plot, right? You're not, I will, it won't be a spoiler, right? To tell you Rivka is waiting and they'll marry at the end. There's a happy end at the end of the parsha. But in order to get there, Eliezer, near the well, he stands there. And the first thing he's doing is praying. Now, why should you pray? You got all the instructions. Everything is set up. I mean, everything is organized. You have this test of chesed. You're going to this and this family. And if not, you'll come back. Why is it so important? He's not doing anything, okay, without praying. Rabbi Volbe says he's a student of Avraham Avinu. He's part of his house, of his family, of the tent. He's not part of the family, but he works with him. And he understands you have to pray before you do something. And that's a very special prayer he says there. Look at how he describes it. At first he says, Vayomer Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham Hakrena Lefanai Hayom Vaasecha. He asks Hashem to bring him the right bride, the right girl to Yitzchak. Vayehihu terem kila ledaber, while he's speaking, in the middle of his prayer, Rivka already comes. But then when he describes it to Lavan and to Rivka's family, once again he talks about what happened, it's called Sichat Avdei Avot, how the servants talk. It's very important to learn each word that Eliezer says. He says, Ani, that's how he describes what happened. Ani terem achale ledaber el libi, vehine Rivka yotzet. Okay, I'm still talking, praying to my heart, with my heart, within my heart. It's a very beautiful phrase. Ani terem achale ledaber el libi. Each prayer, you know, in the Tanakh teaches us a lot. There's Tfilat Chana, and also from the Tfilah of Eliezer, Chazal are learning, our rabbis, our sages, learn a lot about how should we daven. Achale ledaber elibi. That's what a beautiful definition of prayer, of Tfilah. How do you daven? You talk el libcha. That's the closest place to Hashem. And why should Hashem listen to Eliezer? I mean, why is it so... I mean, why won't Avraham daven, or Yitzchak, Rivka, they all davened. But there's something there when it comes from your heart, ledaber elibi, Rabbi Volbe says that something there, na'asa be'emet. He talks about, we'll quote him. And how do we approach prayer? Karov Hashem lechol korav, lechol asher ikre'u be'emet. Hashem is near, is close to all those who call out to him, to all those who call out to him in truth. That's what Eliezer did. He was truthful, honest. He wanted it to work out. This is the opposite of what we are accustomed to think. We think that the tzaddik is near God and that the evil is far from him. And here it is revealed to us that the degree of separation or closeness to God does not depend on the spiritual level of the one praying, but on sincerity, be'emet. If the evil calls out to God with sincerity, he knows and is honest about his present situation. He knows he's not a tzaddik. And even so, he calls out to God be'emet, then he's near to him, his close. If we do not fool ourselves about who we are, then we will be close to him. Eliezer, ayam ale be'emet, and that's part of his beautiful prayer. Ba'ani terem achale ledaber Elibi. That's the base to everything. You can't start without it. Although he's doing very tachlis, practical things, right? He goes, he takes the camels. He's doing, but he's not. He always remembers tefillah should be a part of this process. That's how it starts. And then something happens. They are all in a rush. Think about if it was a movie. I think the music was really, you know, quickly, like voices. Things were like happening all the time. People are running. Look at this. Vayaratz ha'eved, he runs to her. Vayaratz ha'eved likrata. Okay, well, now what we're searching now, what we're asking ourselves now is, for what purpose are you running? Avur ma ata mizdarez. Let's check, okay, the different types of people running here. So, vayaratz ha'eved likrata. Eliezer, of course, he runs. The servant wants it to work. And he asks, please, let me sip a little water from your jar. He wants to drink. What is she doing? Look at the phrases. Vatomer shte adoni, drink, my lord, okay? And she quickly, maher, lowered her jar upon her hand and let him drink. When she had let him drink his fill, she said, I will also draw for your camels until they finish drinking. Once again, quickly, okay, emptying her jar and ran back to the well to draw, and she drew for all his camels. Maher, vataratz, vatemaher. What's going on here? What's so urgent? Thirsty camels. I can think of more urgent issues. But when we compare it, okay, these hurry up and running the descriptions, when we compare it to last week parasha, I remember another person running exactly the same phrases. Avraham, when he sees these three strangers, guests, vayaratz likratam, ikach me'at maim, rachatzu, vayekhapat lechem, vayamaher Avraham. ומה הוא אומר לשרה? He says, מהרי. And he goes אל הבקר. רץ אברהם, ויקח בן בקר. ויתן אל הנער. He gives it to Ishmael. וימהר לעשות. And he's also like something really, really, it's an emergency. There's a thirsty person here. There's another emergency this week. There's a thirsty camel here. Bingo. We have a match. Okay? Notice. It's not just courtesy. You can be nice, okay, I give you. No. It's zrizut. It's part of what they really want to do. I can do chesed. If somebody asks, I can do chesed. They are eager. It's the desire to do chesed. There's also another person who is running in our parasha. It's Lavan. Different type of running. Ulerivka achu shmo Lavan. Vayaratz Lavan el ha'ish achutza el ha'ayin. Rivka runs to the man at the spring. Why is he running? Lama ratz ve'al ma ratz, asks Rashi. Why did he run and what did he run for? And it came to pass when he saw the ring, the nose ring, Nezem, he said, this must be a rich man when he sees Eliezer, and he had an eye to his money. Ve'natan einav b'mamon. We are all zrizim. We all run. The question is why? I mean, there are things, you know, to get someone wake up out of bed quickly. It depends what you tell him. You tell him there's $1 million or you tell him there's the thirsty camel. Depends. I mean, what makes you run? We all ran toward something. The question is, once again, what makes us run? Rivka should be Rivka Imenu because of that reason. And Rav Volbe, in the linguistic, I would say, sense, it was the first time I saw, I thought about it. He writes, "Miniflaot leshon hakodesh," among the wonders of the Hebrew language, and it won't be hard for the English speakers here. It's not so hard. Sheshorash milat ratzon hu rutz. The root of the word ratzon, what I want, my desire, is rutz. Rutz is to run, la rutz, right? Ratzon vela rutz. They all comes from the first. The same verb. Since when a person truly wants something, he runs after it. And Lavan ran after the men outside to the fountain. Why did he run and for what did he run? It was when he saw the nose ring and said, this man is rich, and he set his eyes on the money. Rav Volbe quotes Rashi and says, what we love, that is where we run. May we run to good things. But it really depends. I mean, what's your, I would say, How did you educate yourself? How well were you were educated? And you can really ask a question about someone if you want to describe him. What is he running for? Okay, that's a good question to try to describe ourselves. What are we running for and what not? I mean, what do we find boring and not important? It's not the only way to look at what Rivka did. Once again, she did chesed. Okay, that's obvious. We all know it. She did more than what she was asked for. When someone comes to me with a problem, okay, he reveals a secret and he tells me, I have this challenge, this obstacle, this issue. I usually try to, okay, I listen, I try to solve it, to help out. But I really want to get rid of this mission. I have a list of things, you all have list, tons of things to do. I listen, I help, that's it, thank you very much. Rivka teaches us, it's not enough. If you really want to do chesed, don't be a robot. Don't just see, okay, that's what he needs, V, okay, check, beautiful. No. Rivka gives much more than what he originally asked for. He just tells her, give me hatina et kadech veshteh, give me your jar, I want to drink. She gives his camels also to drink. That's why, Rashi says, re'uya, ראויה היא לא ליצחק שתהיה גומלת חסדים וכדאי להיכנס בביתו של אברהם. That's the audition, that's the test, that's the exam, to give more than what he asked. And then when he asked to just sleep, מקום ללין, to sleep for one night, she says, no, יש בביתי גם מקום ללון, to spend many nights with my family as a guest. He said, one night, and she, once again, she brings him in too many nights. So twice we see this format, okay? He asks for this, and he gets this. Now, it's called in Ivrit, להבין דבר מתוך דבר, to understand one thing from the other. If someone, once again, reveals a certain problem, this is so true when it comes to our relationships with other people, okay? They come to us, and they don't want us just to listen and solve this problem. They may need much more than that. We should be sensitive, like Rivka Avinu, and see, maybe I can give more. Rabbi Volbe always quoted a beautiful story about a certain rabbi who was asked just before Pesach, before the Seder night, if someone can fulfill the obligation of drinking 4 cups of wine at the Seder, but by drinking 4 cups of milk instead. האם אתה יוצא? יויצא, כמו שאני שומעת פה, האם אתה יוצא ידי חובה with 4 cups of milk? The Rav said, no. And he gave this person a nice donation, a lot of money. So the Rebbetzin asked him, the Rabbanit, his wife, why did you give him so much money? I mean, what happened? 4 cups of wine, it doesn't cost so, I mean, don't cost that much. He answered, I gave him enough for all the expenses of a proper seder, because from his question I understand that he had none of the seder necessities. How can you make drink milk if you do a real meal, a festival meal? It must include meat. It means he has nothing to eat and to drink. So kindness means search the needs, you know, see with the insight, to see the whole picture in order to really do true kindness and understand davar mitoch davar, to understand one thing from the other. Now, Rivka sees Avraham for the first time. And there's a beautiful midrash that it's, this whole scene is so like romantic. She sees him for the first time. He sees her. And she was really excited. She fell out of the from the camel. Why? For the first time, she saw someone davening. She yadosh tucha betfila. And she said to herself, vadai adam gadol hu. There are big, great figures in our world. It was the first time she met a spiritual person, a serious, devoted, committed. Wow, she met Yitzchak Avinu for the first time. Think she just spent this morning with Lavan there at this horrible family. For the first time she met Adam Gadol, in Hebrew you say. It's Rav Chaim Navon, an Israeli Rav, once spoke about the first time he met Rabbi Lichtenstein, his Rav. And he said, until that day, I only knew cats. I knew many people. I thought they're all cats. All the people I knew were cats. Now, for the first time, I met a lion. What a beautiful definition. For the first time I met a lion, it's a different type of person. It's a gadol, Adam gadol. That's the first time Rivka sees a lion. It's about to become her husband. And this excitement, Ezrat Hashem, should be part of their life and our life in the future. I mean, after they get married. And that's, I would say, that's the, in this journey, that's how Rav Volbe describes, I mean, the end of this journey, the end of the journey, is the beautiful, beautiful pasuk after the chesed, and after we saw how the ideology is in the small details, and after, of course, he's not marrying out, she's marrying in, and after all these beautiful lessons we learned, the end of the parasha, we see this beautiful, beautiful pasuk. Vayavi'eh Yitzchak ha'ohel ha'sara imo. He brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he took Rivka as his wife, and he loved her, and he found comfort after his mother's death. Abraham and Sarah, they both passed away in this parasha, but Abraham and Sarah's tent do not exist anymore. But we do have a new tent now, Yitzchak and Rivka's tent, now being built right now, and we see this. I would say that's the end of the journey that will be continued in Be'ezrat Hashem next week, but that's the end this week. And I think, once again, we can learn a lot from the Musar movement, reading the parasha in this perspective. I want to thank you very much again. See you here next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, Toda Rabba. New parasha, new adventures. Thank you very much, everyone. Laila Tov, Toda Rabba. Thank you. Thank you. I will ask Uri to leave this slide for a few seconds, okay? For those who want to know, where will you be next week? This week, Be'ezrat Hashem, in Chicago this Thursday. And then there's Montreal, Toronto. You can follow. If anyone wants to, if you want to stay connected and know, you know, get the information, all the lectures. So that's the way to get the information. There's an Israeli number here and an American number. Toda Rabba. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you. Toda. Ohio. You can invite me. Why not? I'd love to come. No problem.